Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome back to the only podcast that is on Facebook and on iTunes and on Google Play and on... I'm going to be 100% honest with all of you tonight. I am very tired. I am very out of it. And I am struggling to be fancy and creative this evening. But we are going to do our best to bring you an entertaining show as we enter the last 10 nights of Ramadan 2018. And before I talk too much longer, because I really don't know what I'm talking about at this point, ladies and gentlemen, the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to all our listeners on this official final stretch of Ramadan as we enter tonight into the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the most auspicious and virtuous nights, and night within which is a night that is equivalent to 1,000 months of worship. It's been a struggle, as we've been talking about for the last 2-3 weeks as Ramadan had entered. And there's so much that we can be talking about politically, globally, in regards to what's happening in our neck of the woods, what's happening in our nation, or what's happening globally. But realistically speaking, Ramadan is a time where it's not business as usual. A time wherein we have to realize that it requires more than just a little nudge, maybe a push, maybe even a leap of faith that takes us beyond where we're accustomed to being. Carl, I was in Miami this weekend and I had a pleasure of meeting up with my former student and friend. And we were talking, and his company is a global company, and one of their clients is a company based in Qatar. And they told him that Ramadan is coming up and we're going to be winding down business, right? So they thought, okay, winding down means instead of working 6 to 8 hours a day, you're going to kind of be working 1 or 2 hours a day. But it was total shutdown. It was such a total shutdown that there was nothing coming from Qatar, and they got scared that what's going on here. We were told it's Ramadan, business is going to be winding down, but not shutting off completely. And this example is to how people take Ramadan serious, that they're willing to kind of give up their jobs just for the sake of these 30 days. Now, I've never been a fan of that, brothers and sisters. I've always said, continue doing what you're doing, but do a bit more. But when it comes to these final 10 nights, it starts to make sense why secluding yourself in i'tikaf, which means voluntary devotion through seclusion as an act of worship, why this is becoming a virtuous practice that the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, spend the last 10 nights in seclusion and worship. So Carl, coming down to the last 10 nights, starting from maybe an hour from now, but why is it that we're seeing that the Ummah feels it's business as usual? That's how I've seen it from the outside. You know, the Palestine-Israel issue has been front and center. The president calling everyone for iftar tomorrow to the White House has been front and center. Protests around the country or different issues, healthcare, Supreme Court. Why is it that we feel that it's not necessary to stop business as usual? Rather, we feel we should continue with business as usual.
So I'm going to start. I'm going to start by predicting Thursday's headlines for us. I know this is about to show my age, but if you remember, Johnny Carson used to put on the turban and he'd have the note cards and the envelopes and he'd hold them against his head and he'd predict the answers. So my prediction is Thursday's headlines are going to be It was a huge iftar. It was the biggest iftar ever. More people had dates than ever before. It was the best iftar. There was no better iftar ever than the White House iftar this year. So there's your Thursday headlines. Don't be surprised when you see it. But back to your question. You know, you're 100% right. And it's something that I'm feeling this year. And it's something that I know we were talking about this around the office the other day, that it really does feel that. And I know what you and I were talking when we started this Ramadan stuff, and you remember somebody said, oh, there was so much I wanted to do. And you were talking about that. And I heard that today. I heard that somebody was like, oh, I haven't done, you know, for the Quran what I wanted to do. And I haven't worked on my iman as I wanted to. And I have to say that I'm right there with it. Now, granted, my job is a little bit special, and so it does take a little bit of effort during Ramadan, and there's so much work to be done. But at the same time, there's not. I know I've been putting in extra hours. I know that just seems to be other things going on. And I know I've heard a lot of people say that they're just not putting in and getting out what they want from this Ramadan, which, you know, it's seems to have been a common thread this year.
And it's a dangerous one, Carl, because if it's becoming a common thread across the spectrum, then one needs to realize, God forbid you get into a car accident right now, or God forbid you have cardiac arrest, you're going to be in hospital. Whatever you plan for dinner tonight is canceled. Whatever you plan for breakfast tomorrow is canceled. Whatever meetings you have tomorrow are canceled indefinitely. Why? Because there's no choice. Try to put yourself in a voluntary position where you give yourself no choice. Because if we don't charge ourselves in these last 10 nights, there's going to be no other time in the year where you can do that. Hajj is not going to give it to you. Jummah is not going to give it to you. The New Year is not going to give it to you. The birthday of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is not going to give it to you. And until next Ramadan, it's not going to give it to you. So I'm not trying to put anyone down. I'm feeling the same thing. Like, how come it's taken so long to kind of get into the rhythm of Ramadan, that Ramadan's hitting its last 10 nights and we're still not feeling it properly? It requires three things, brothers and sisters, friends and families across the world as we're listening tonight. Number one, we have to stop. We have to stop. We just have to stop. We just have to disconnect. Your phone could get down to 1%. If you don't put on the charger, the battery's just going to die. So just let the battery die of your concerns of the world and just, you know, focus. You know, I'm seeing Muslim organizations preparing to do a counter iftar outside the White House. Like, come on, really? Like, what are you all about? If he wants to do his iftar, good for him. If he wants to invite you, good for you. If he doesn't want to invite you, good for him also. Just do what you're supposed to do. I don't understand how people feel that they could continue working spiritually in the name of spirituality and not charge themselves or plug into those spiritual hubs when's required. A mosque isn't your spiritual hub. A mosque is your additional charge to your current charge. So if you're at 50% through Ramadan, when you kind of go down, your mosque will charge you up to 50%. Your Hajj will charge you up to 50%. It's not going to take you the full 100, because Ramadan, you made the bar. You set the bar at 50%. Imagine if it's lower. Imagine if it's lower. It's scary. So as much as we're, as much as we are crying of our pain, that crying with pain of our sister who died in Palestine, as much as we are crying for the people disrupted by the volcanoes in South America and Hawaii, as much as we're crying for the 5,000 people that died in Puerto Rico from the hurricane, as much as we're crying for our Palestinian brothers and sisters and our Yemen brothers and sisters and for our Burmese brothers and sisters and our Iraqi brothers and sisters and our Syrian brothers and sisters and American brothers and sisters and our global brothers and sisters, it's not gonna help by your tears when you can't shed a tear. And that tear is called the tear of faith. So number one, we have to stop to say, what, enough with everything. Number two, disconnect from the world. Doesn't matter if the Golden State Warriors win the finals or if LeBron James and his team wins the finals. It doesn't make a difference for me. And number three, just hold the Quran. If you can't even open it, just hold it and go to sleep with it. Just hold it and just ask Allah, why has it become so hard for me to connect with your book? These are very simple things. You know what the goal is, Carl? The ultimate goal is, before Eid comes, I and you can shed one tear, just one tear out of the fear of God. Just one shed one tear of guilt, shed one tear of remorse, shed one tear of hope, shed one tear of gratitude, shed one tear of sincere repentance. One tear, that's all we need before Eid. If that can't happen, then either you're superhuman or you're a super jinn, or I don't know what creation you are, because as humans, the traditions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, showed us this is the time. There's no other time.
So I'm actually going to steer us slightly into topical news, because I have a very legit question for you. And it's something that I'm kind of struggling with, because this is not the first time this has happened. But you've mentioned a couple of times tonight about the White House iftar tomorrow, and that there might be a counter iftar out front, which is weird in and of itself. But besides that point, in the spirit of Ramadan, in the spirit of building bridges, in the spirit of, you know, whatever you'd like to call it, wouldn't it be okay to attend that iftar? Wouldn't it be, I mean, I'm trying to think of like the hadiths that I've read and the hadiths that I've heard, and I honestly don't think I've ever read or heard anything, and you're the imam, so correct me if I'm wrong, where the Prophet turned somebody away from his table. Like, he refused somebody at his table. And it would just seem that in this spirit of togetherness, whether you like the person or not, it would be okay. It would be accepting. It would be inclusive. It would be educational. And I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's where I'm going to throw it back to you, because that's what you do.
Well, you know, I can't recall that tradition itself that you're talking about, but I can tell you this much. Ijabatu da'i is one of the five rights a Muslim has on a Muslim, that when someone invites you, you honor their invitation, you accept it. In this case, he's not a Muslim, but why all the drama? You know, if someone's doing drama and you're pointing out their drama, and then you're going to play drama when they're trying to be professional, why? Like, if he invited any one of us, go for it. Like, it's not where we're going to get a selfie with the president, or we're going to get to go into the White House. A lot of the Muslim brothers and sisters from different organizations have done a lot of kumbaya with Obama. They did it, you know, good for them. But Bush invited people to the White House. So did his father. So did Reagan. It's like, what's the issue? And again, this is called not shaitan, because we know the devil is chained up in this month. This is called the works of devil. Because he worked on us so much, our mechanisms, like, because we gave him the space to work on us, we gave him the space in our mind and heart to manipulate us, that even in his absence, it's like a car. If the alignment is off, even without, when you're holding the steering wheel, you're struggling to keep it straight. And when you let go, it'll just go its direction. You don't even have to turn it. It will just start going. So basically, our hearts and minds have been manipulated because we gave space for the devil to do so. And no one, including myself, is immune from that, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to get into your head, and he's got into our head. Even in his absence, we want to play the games that he wants us to play. Now, what is the games of devil? Many people say, oh, you're talking about making someone do haram and making someone fornicate and someone drink and someone kill. Let me tell you the basic thing the devil does, which is across the board of all sins. It's called waste time. It's called lose focus. It's called thinking about others without thinking about yourself. Islam teaches us that in all acts of generosity and care, you think about others before yourself. But when it comes to rectification, you think about yourself before others. It's the plain analogy. Put your mask on first before you put on your child's mask or your parent's mask. You have to do yours first. So I don't know why, and I wish this wasn't such a big topic. I wish the Wajahat Ali topic didn't take on the Atlantic and counter articles over speaking engagement. It's like, you know what? What are are we doing, guys? What are we doing? And as much as you don't want to get involved when you hear it and when you read it, you're like, why? Why? The Muslim Ummah, especially when people like me, who are so such great sinners and so ill inclined towards my faith right now, when they would see other Muslims, it would remind them of getting to the mosque. It would remind them of connecting to God. But sometimes you're like, you're lost and everyone's lost. It's like the four blind men trying to describe the elephant. All of them feel they got the whole elephant. That's where they're wrong. Their description isn't wrong. It's when they say, we described the elephant and not part of the elephant.
No, you're 100% right. And I remember I think it was the George W. Bush iftar that people attended, and there was an uproar. Oh, how could you attend that? How could you go there? How could you do that? But I mean, honestly, as the imam, my question to you is there a hadith, is there a story where the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I refuse to break bread with these people?
And
the one story that just came to my head, and I don't know what it was. I mean, I'll set it up and you can explain it better. But I remember that there was something, and he was eating with some people, and one of them came in, and instead of saying "Assalamu alaikum," they said something else. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, his wife was like, "How can you?" You know, he said, "Why would you say that to him? Because didn't you?" And she said to him, "You know, the Prophet." She said, "Didn't you hear what he said to you?" And the Prophet said, "Yes." And didn't you hear my reply to him, which was, "And upon you as well." Do you know the hadith I'm talking about?
there was an incident when a person entered the Prophet, peace be upon him. He entered his presence and he said, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum means poison or death be upon you. And so the Prophet said, Wa alaikum, and on you. So he didn't even say, Wa alaikum sam, that on you be death or curse or poison. He just said, on you. Like, you gave it to me, I gave it back to you. So he didn't take it more than a grain of salt. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she was ballistic. Like, you know, how could you say that? Not in a bad way. She loved the Prophet, peace be upon him. She loved Islam. She loved respect of human beings. So anyone would go ballistic. I would go ballistic. Like, how dare you say that to the Prophet, peace be upon him? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu would have become ballistic. And so would Ali radiallahu anhu and Uthman radiallahu anhu and the whole nine yards. But he said, it's okay. I heard what he said. And didn't you hear my response to you too? Like, why are we trying to take beef further than where others feel they need to take it? If you want to show professionalism, reel it in. Don't push it out. Reel it in. Reel the hearts of people. Someone standing up there saying Islam are pigs and Muslims are pig and Islam is a devil and Allah is a whatever. Reel that person in. Reel them in with your character and love. But if we don't have that character and love, because we never use Ramadan correctly to gain that level of faith and understanding and spiritual maturity and recharge and rejuvenation that could help us do that, then we're going to be slaves of our whims and desires. And those slaves of our whims and desires will only allow us to be reactive when people are reactive and to become reputative when people repute us. And it's just going to be constant bickering. I want to end with one saying. It was in this night, the 21st night, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would wake up his family. He would stay awake himself. He would tie his lower garment tight. He said, let's do this right. You know, let's do this Ramadan. It's a metaphorical, like, pull up your sleeves or pull up your socks. Let's get down and let's do this. May Allah bless all of us with a blessed night of power. May Allah give us the night which is in rewards greater than 1,000 months. May Allah allow us to honor these final nights of this month of Ramadan, not knowing we're going to see another one. And may Allah allow us to truly celebrate something that we've accomplished on Eid. Because remember, Eid is celebrating your accomplishment, but you can't stand up for graduation if you never graduated.
That's deep right there as things go bang in my kitchen because we're getting ready for iftar.
What do you understand?
I think before I let you sign off and go, I want you to entice us with one more story and then I'll let you go. But our title tonight and our talking point was about the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And we know that the night of power is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But we don't know which night is the night of power in Ramadan. And that's when I throw it to you and I say, why don't we know which one and which night it is?
I love you for the sake of Allah, brother. You actually helped us conclude this show with the right touch and the right topic. And that's why we're partners here on this show, because we help each other to get the right message out. So, yeah, what night is it? In the Indian Pakistani culture, that's what I could speak for. We believe it's the 27th night. So come on the 27th night, pray and go home. Kumbaya, hippie I do die, hippie I day. It's done, right? Some believe it's in the odd night, so they'll worship on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th night. And there are some of them who know that it could be in any of these nights, odd or even. But one day the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sitting in his house. Angel Gabriel came and told him the night of power is on Wednesday. And he was so happy. I'm giving an example. He didn't say Wednesday. And, you know, so he got up and he went out to tell the companions. And as soon as he got out, there was two of the companions quarreling. They were having a verbal quarrel, fight amongst each other. And what happened was he was going to say it. And many of us can relate to this. And when we're going to say something, we forgot what we were going to say. And we forgot what we were going to do. And we forgot what we were supposed to write down. It was that moment we said, I came out to tell you that the night of power is on XYZ night. We could just say Wednesday. And I came out, and because you two were quarreling, that night has been taken from me. So search for it in the last 10 nights. Some narration says last 10 nights, odd nights, all nights, whatever it is, now it's up. Now it's up in the air. It could be any of these nights. There's a good and a bad in this. The good is that we'll continue to work diligently to find it, and we're not going to become complacent on just one night. And number two, we're going to hopefully in that striving effort that we're going to make towards finding it, in striving and making that effort, we'll be able to hopefully change a course of how we connect with Allah and make the relationship more meaningful as we seek it out. So if we're going to fight in these last few nights, we're going to lose more than just the night of power. The companions lost it not just for that year. They lost it forever. And if we lose in these nights, we will lose it, and our generations will lose it, and the ummah will lose it forever. So be careful before you pick a bone or pick a fight with anyone, because it's not worth it. Think about going in the ICU tonight, where you're going to be on a ventilator, where you're going to have no one allowed to see you. You're going to be hooked up to machines and you can't even move. Now do something to stay alive. May Allah give us the goodness, prevent us from harm, prevent us from being sources of harm, and allow us to bring forth goodness to the whole world. Ameen.
Ameen. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another episode of the amazing, wonderful, educational, enlightening show that we call Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Imam Azhar is the host of the show, and he has been speaking. If you'd like to learn more about him, you can head over to vennetwork.org. And while you're over there, you can leave comments about this episode or previous episodes. You can download all the episodes, and you can check out the other shows on the network, and you can download those shows and listen to those as well. You can also, if you're feeling so inclined, pick yourself up a Venn Network t-shirt, which I am currently not wearing tonight, but you can see the logo. See, I always get the flipped camera from Apple backwards, but you can see the logo right there, and you get one with a nice one on a t-shirt, and you can get that. It'll help support the network. It'll help support the shows. And if you follow us on patreon.com, you can find a link at vennetwork.org. You will see that we updated our rewards, and up there now you can get a Venn Network t-shirt for joining us on patreon.com. And I believe that's all the salesy stuff I have. So that brings us to the actual end of the show. But before I do, we have one comment from Facebook tonight that says, Ameen. Well said, Imam. May Allah bless you and your family. And may Allah give your son healing, because any of you that follow Imam Azhar, you saw that It was the day before your boy's birthday, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yep, in the hospital with a broken arm. That's no way to celebrate your birthday. So may Allah bring him quick healing and make the next couple of nights easy on him. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, we will say Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.